Let us resume our Bible study tonight, beginning the book of Jeremiah. Yirmiyahu in Hebrew, it means the Lord exalts, which means the Lord lifts up and the Lord tears down. God gives kingdoms, he takes kingdoms away. Does God ever take kingdoms from his servants? Oh, only those that rebel against him. Jeremiah follows the book of Isaiah, but he prophesies 100 years after the death of Isaiah. How did Isaiah die? Do you remember? Manasseh put him into a log and saw the log in half with him inside. That's mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, in the honor roll of the faithful. Assyria captured the northern kingdom in about the year 722 BCE. And 20 years or so later, the Lord broke Sennacherib's siege of Jerusalem. That's in 2 Kings chapter 18 and Isaiah chapters 36 to 37 that describes those in detail. And Jeremiah was born during the reign of the wicked king Manasseh. He was the son of Hilkiah, priest of Anatoth in Benjamin. So if you grab your handout that shows the reigns of the kings of Jerusalem and the northern kingdom of Israel and the prophets that prophesied, if you find Josiah, Josiah is where Jeremiah begins to prophesy. But if you look 2 Kings before that, he was born during the reign of Manasseh, that evil, wicked king. He begins his ministry, Jeremiah does, in the 13th year of Josiah's reign. And remember, Josiah was a good king. And he prophesied during the reign of Josiah, then Jehoahaz, Josiah's son, then Jehoiakim, which was another son of Josiah, then Jehoiachin, and then Zedekiah, and then Judah goes into the Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah continues to prophesy and eventually goes down into exile in Egypt. Okay, back to the notes. He was called to be a prophet when he was 20 years old. In the 13th year of Josiah, which according to my timeline is about 626 BCE. He was highly persecuted, even by his own family. Like I said, or meant to say, he was the son of Hilkiah, priest of Anatoth in Benjamin. We're going to talk a moment about who Hilkiah was.
So Jeremiah would have prophesied during Josiah's reign?
Yes. He started in the 13th year of Josiah's reign was when he began to prophesy. He was born earlier than that. So he prophesied during the reign of 5 kings of Judah. Josiah, well, I just read him to you. He was prophet when Nebuchadnezzar took Jerusalem. In his whole reign of prophecy, he prophesied for about 50 years total before he went into exile in Egypt with Baruch his scribe. And 5 years after Jeremiah's call, Josiah led a revival. If you remember, after finding the book of the law, Jeremiah was prophesying 5 years before they found the book of the law. So that's something to keep in mind. That may have had an influence on that young king Josiah when they found the book of the law. He was known as the weeping prophet. And the book of Jeremiah is not chronological. It's topical. So if you're trying to read it as chronological, you can get all kinds of confused. I want to read to you the comments from my Tanakh that introduced Jeremiah. It says, of all the prophets charged to remonstrate with the Jewish people to stop their plunge to destruction, none had a more difficult task than Jeremiah. How many other prophets prophesied during Jeremiah's reign? Did you look at the list?
Three.
Huldah, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. All during that time period. But they say Jeremiah had the most difficult task. He was still a young man when he was given his mission. He was 20 years old. How do you think those 50 and 60 year old experts thought when this 20 year old comes up and start telling them what they're doing wrong and how they need to fix their stuff? How many of you would accept a 20 year old coming in here and saying, you guys are all doing everything wrong, let me tell you? Nah. So he spent the rest of his life gamely and vainly trying to persuade a people convinced of its rectitude, meaning they thought they were righteous, and the invincibility of its temple to change their ways. They said, we have the temple of God. Nobody can harm us. So it says, Jeremiah began his prophetic career under Josiah, one of the most righteous of all the kings of Judah, the one who restored the temple and its service to their previous glory. Ironically, that made Jeremiah's task even harder, because the people insisted that the temple would save them, despite their private worship of idols. I'm reading from the commentary from the Tanakh.
So even under Josiah's reign, they were still worshiping idols?
Even under Josiah's reign, they were just doing it privately.
Had their own little idol in their home.
Yep, and after Josiah, then they brought him back to the temple and polluted the temple again. The commentary from the Tanakh goes on to say, Jeremiah was opposed by false prophets who insisted that night was day and day was night. Nebuchadnezzar had conquered and sacked Jerusalem. Could there be greater proof of God's wrath? But charlatans, quote, prophesied, unquote, that the conqueror would soon return the temple's looted treasures and go down to defeat. They thought they would just voluntarily bring all this stuff back and apologize. Bad on us. I'm sorry, I'm commenting. Back to their commentary. The mendacious priests of the temple. What does mendacious mean? Lying. In the service of their supporters rather than the truth, disputed him at every turn. The masses, always hungry for reassurance and outraged at Jeremiah's refusal to say the popular thing, demanded that he be put to death as the prophet Uriah had been. King Zedekiah disobeyed him and burned the scroll of his prophecies. And when Jeremiah refused to be silenced, the king had him hurled into a dungeon where he remained until the sun set on Jerusalem. Ultimately, Jeremiah had the bitter taste of vindication as Jerusalem was destroyed and he was set free, not by his own people, but by the plunderers. Consumed by his love for Israel, Jeremiah wept and grieved for his tormented brethren as they were led into exile. He encouraged them, telling them that they should bear their ordeal in a hostile foreign land with fortitude, because they would become the foundation upon which the new commonwealth would be built. Jeremiah bemoaned his own fate. Why had he been the one chosen to not only foretell the horrors, but to witness them, and even to be at the mercy of the brethren he had been trying to save? But there is no doubt that the exiles in Babylon found strength in his prophecy that there would be redemption and glory 70 years after the destruction. Jeremiah did not live to see his prophecy fulfilled, but many of those who had heard his prophecies were among the ones who returned with Ezra and Nehemiah to inaugurate the second temple. In these comments, do you remember my saying he was highly persecuted even by his own family? With your list of kings and prophets, I want you to make another list. But let's start Jeremiah, and we'll build it as we go. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priests who were in Anatoth in the land of Benjamin. First thing you got to know is, where's the land of Benjamin?
South of Jerusalem.
It's close to Jerusalem.
It's where Jerusalem is.
Oh, it is Jerusalem.
Jerusalem is right at the edge of Judah and Benjamin. So Anatoth is about 3 miles north of Jerusalem. So it's very close to the city. But remember, the priests had certain cities spread throughout the lands. And Anatoth is the priestly city in the land of Benjamin, which was a very small land. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. Verses 1 to 20. Second Kings chapter 22, verses 1 to 20. What I'm about to tell you is hotly disputed. Of course, so is everything else in the Bible. But this Hilkiah was the high priest. 2 Kings chapter 22, we're going to start in verse 1. Hilkiah, his father, was the high priest.
That Jeremiah would be in line?
Jeremiah's not in line to be high priest. He's the brother of one who will become high priest.
But the family opposes him.
The family that is high priest, before they find the book of the law that they didn't know existed, was the high priest leading the people right?
No.
So when Jeremiah stands up, this young whippersnapper, and says, Dad, you're leading the people all wrong. Do you see why the family opposes him? Yeah. So let's read verses 1 to 20. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkot. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah. When did Jeremiah start prophesying? In the 13th year. So he's been prophesying for 5 years to the king. That the king sent Shaphan, the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest. This, I believe, is Jeremiah's father. Then he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people. So the priests were bringing in the money for sustaining the temple, but they weren't using it to sustain the temple. Where were they putting it? In their pockets. And let them deliver it to the hand of those doing the work, who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Who is encouraging Josiah to restore the temple, do you suppose? But Jeremiah. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work to repair the damages of the house, to carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Do you get the idea? The temple's in poor array? However, there need be no accounting made with them of the money delivered into their hand, because they deal faithfully. Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered into the hand of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of this law that he tore his clothes. What's that mean?
Morning.
Great mourning. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book. Wait a minute. Why only for Judah? Why not Israel?
They're
gone. Right, they're gone. that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that's aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. Do you think he read Deuteronomy chapter 28? Yeah, I think he did. To do according to all that is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Isaiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum. Shallum's the father of Hilkiah, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter. So she's the widow of a high priest. And they spoke with her. Then she said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me." Who's that? That's King Josiah. "Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants. All the words of the book which the king of Judah has read." That's Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 15. "Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place." So they brought back word to the king. Josiah has been listening to Jeremiah for 5 years now, and Jeremiah will live to see the captivity. So you see, the Lord keeps his promise. Josiah dies in peace, and then the country goes in a bad way.
When they say pray for Judah, Benjamin's just automatically included because it's so tiny or part of it?
Judah's the kingdom that includes the tribes of Judah and Benjamin.
Thank you.
Yeah, the northern kingdom is called Israel, the southern kingdom Judah. When you see the word Jew in the Bible, it usually refers to one from Judah, one who lives in Judah. Okay. J. Vernon McGee, you guys remember J. Vernon McGee?
Yeah.
He says, Hilkiah, the father of Jeremiah, absolutely was the high priest. My Liberty Bible commentary says, absolutely not. For two reasons, two ways we can tell. Number one, Hilkiah was a common name. Well, that didn't strike me very hard. And the second was, look at how it says, Jeremiah the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anatoth in the land of Benjamin. Look how soft and mealy mouth that is. Well,
I think a lot of them writers passed on now. They figured out different by now.
Yeah, let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 6. 1 Chronicles chapter 6. Everybody knows Azariah is the son of Hilkiah the high priest, because Azariah becomes high priest himself. 1 Chronicles chapter 6. And we'll start in verse 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 6, beginning in verse 12. Ahitub begot Zadok. That's not the Zadok who was loyal to David, but somebody named after him, one of his descendants. And Zadok begot Shallum. Remember, Shallum's wife was Huldah the prophetess? And Zadok begot Shallum. Shallum begot Hilkiah. That's Hilkiah the high priest during the reign of Josiah. Hilkiah begot Azariah. This is the Azariah that becomes high priest after Hilkiah. That's what this list is of high priest. Azariah begot Sariah, and Sariah begot Jehozadak. Jehozadak went into captivity when the Lord carried Judah and Jerusalem into captivity by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. So we know Azariah is the son of Hilkiah the high priest, as is Gemariah. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 20. Gemariah is G-E-M-A-R-I-A-H. Gemariah. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 3. Jeremiah writes a letter. He sends the letter by the hand of Elosh, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Notice it doesn't say Gemariah, the son of the high priest. It uses the same kind of language as Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1. But Gemariah is the son of Hilkiah. He's the brother of Azariah, and he is the brother of Jeremiah. That's why Jeremiah chooses him to be the one to carry the letter. He entrusts it to his brother.
His brother
are Azariah, A-Z-A-R-I-A-H, and Gemariah, G-E-M-A-R-I-A-H. So Azariah was mentioned in 1 Chronicles chapter 6, and Gemariah in Jeremiah 29, verse 3. Okay. Back to Jeremiah 1:1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anatoth in the land of Benjamin. Anatoth being so close to Jerusalem is a place you would expect the high priest to come from, isn't it? Yeah. Verse 2, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So again, we have confirmation from the scripture that Josiah was in his 13th year when Jeremiah received his call to be a prophet. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 13 and see how that happens. 1 Kings chapter 13. Verses 1 to 5. 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. Are we there?
Yep.
And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. You remember who Jeroboam was? He was the first king of the northern kingdom of Israel after Israel splits at the death of Solomon. And they cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold a child, Josiah by name. That's the king Josiah we're reading about in Jeremiah. Shall be born to the house of David. And on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places, who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. Does that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, in 2 Chronicles. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. So it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, arrest him. Then his hand, which he stretched out toward him, withered, so he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. I just had to go back to this passage.
Was that the hand that turned
leprosy? Yeah. Yeah. But the child, Josiah by name, Josiah doesn't get born for 400 years after this. And yet God not only knew that he would be born and what his name would be, but also what he was going to do, and that's what he did. And go to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. Verses 1 to 20. If we just read it, let's not read it again.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. It is what we just read. So let's not read it again. Just put in the notes that Wayne thought it was really important. Okay. So let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 3. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So that's how long this prophecy went on. Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, see how Lord is spelled? That's the tetragrammaton, those four Hebrew letters, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, saying means it's a quote. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Before he was formed, it's actually not in the womb, it's in the belly, but hey, let's not quiver. Jeremiah was ordained as a prophet before he was conceived. What does that say about abortion? Were there others who were given special missions even before they were conceived? Yes, Samson. Let's go to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. Judges chapter 13, verses 1 to 5.
Wayne, your comment about Jeremiah being ordained as a prophet, so many years before, the thought came to me that we're not all called to be prophets or teachers or preachers or whatever, but we all have these gifts that's been given to us.
Right.
And so we should, no one should ever feel like, well, I'm a nobody, what am I to the Lord? It's like he has perfectly formed us and has his particular plan for each one of us.
You're absolutely right. So Judges 13, because time is running so short, we won't actually read the verses, just put them in your note, that Samson was called to be a Nazarite before he was even conceived. John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1, verses 13 to 17. John the Baptist, Luke chapter 1, verses 13 to 17, was called to be a Nazarite before he was even conceived. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, 15 to 17, that God had a mission for him before he was even born.
What was that last reference, by the way?
Paul, Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. But the one verse that I really do want us to look at is in Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. There's a debate out there. Is that an unborn child or is it a lump of flesh? Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 to 25. The key verse I want everybody who engages in the abortion debate to know is verse 23. But we'll start in 22 for context. If men fight and hurt a woman with child, means she's pregnant, so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine, meaning financial restitution, since no harm came to the woman or child. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Problem is, verse 23 is not correct. But if any harm follows, then you shall give nephesh, tachat nephesh. Nephesh, N-E-P-H-E-S-H, means soul. Soul for soul, meaning that child, that unborn child, has a soul. Nephesh, N-E-P-H-E-S-H. Nephesh, tachat nephesh. Tachat means instead of. So you took the soul of that child, therefore your soul is forfeit. That tells us that unborn baby is not a lump of flesh. It is a living soul in the eyes of God. And with that, we'll have to be done for this week. We'll pick up next week, Lord willing, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6.